Broadcasting Network.
Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News right here on RBN Live, this 18th day of December, 2023, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. Vladimir Putin has come to a realization, admitting he was naive about the West. He thought the West wanted to have cordial relations with Russia when what it really wanted was Russia's disintegration. This is significant. The West was determined to break Russia apart after the collapse of the Soviet Union, believing that multiple states based on the country's ruins would be too weak to resist outside influence, President Vladimir Putin has said. In an interview with Russian journalist Pavel Zubrin aired on Sunday, yesterday, Putin admitted that he was a naive leader early in his political career, even though he had a solid background in Soviet intelligence. The Russian president said that he had believed that the West understood that Russia had become a completely different country after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and that there were no further ideological differences warranting a serious standoff. According to Putin, even when he saw Western efforts to support terrorism and separatism in Russia 2 decades ago, he thought that it was the inertia of thinking that was to blame. They had just got used to fighting the Soviet Union, he believed. The reality, however, was the West was deliberately trying to undercut Russia. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, he observed, they thought they just had to wait a little longer, and then they would break Russia apart as well. According to Putin, the West saw no need for the existence of the world's largest country with its large population. It would be better, as suggested by former U.S. National Security Advisor Zbigniew Ziebrzynski, to divide it into 5 parts and subjugate them one by one. This alleged Western plan, he explained, hinged on the premise that several smaller states would have no weight or voice of their own, would have no chance to defend their national interest in the way the united Russian state has. The Russian leader appears to have been referring to a 1997 article by Brzezinski, an ardent supporter of Soviet containment who died in 2017, suggesting that Moscow should abandon a futile effort to regain its status as a global power. A former White House advisor also opined that a loosely confederated Russia, composed of a European Russia, a Siberian Republic, and a Far Eastern Republic, would have an easier time fostering economic relations with its neighbors. Putin has repeatedly said the West was planning to split Russia into several states, wherein the Russian people could cease to exist if that were to happen, and naming its continued unity is a key condition for the country's success. Putin's absolutely right, but I don't think it's ideological. It's really economic, and it's exploitative. It's like a vulture capitalism taking apart successful companies to sell them off for their parts to make more money, which was Mitt Romney's area of specialization. I'm glad to hear Putin making this forthright declaration, however, because he's spot on. Meanwhile, the Times of India, and that article came from Russia Today, RT, Times of India has reported observations of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov who is by far the most experienced diplomat on the face of Earth today. 500-year domination of the world is ending, Putin's foreign minister warns the West. Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, warned the West, its 500-year domination of the world is coming to an end. Lavrov said the conflict in Ukraine has made Russia stronger, despite Russian attempts to weaken it. He compares this to Russia's past victories over Adolf Hitler and Napoleon. Lavrov criticizes the cancel culture hybrid war in Ukraine and blames the Americans for putting the Ukrainians in a difficult situation. He also mentioned Ukrainian President Zelensky's decree prohibiting negotiation with Putin. I think Lavrov's got it right. He said the conflict has made Russia stronger, even though the West has tried to weaken Russia and Ukraine. He compared it to how Russia became stronger after defeating Hitler and Napoleon, that the hybrid war in Ukraine is based on cancel culture, adding it's up to the Ukrainians to recognize how deep they are in the hole where the American put them. But of course, it's much, much more than just a Ukraine war, since the end of Western hegemony is manifest in the Israeli-Hamas war as well. Meanwhile, this is pretty damn interesting. Russian forces hit a NATO operations center inside Ukraine, Hal Turner reporting. Russian aerospace forces have struck a NATO operations center with a Kinzhal hypersonic missile. The Russian forces reporting confirmed the destruction of a NATO operations center at Starkonzhov, Ukraine, by a Kinzhal missile strike. Initial reports say Ukraine suffered 28 casualties, NATO, at least 12 officers. The Ukraine forces gave no statement, have disabled communication in the region to prevent information from getting out. They're too late. U.S. and NATO, of course, are engaged. Wow. Let me check the date on this little beauty. Nope. 16 December 2023. We had a similar report over a year ago, just to be sure. Meanwhile, Kiev reportedly is left speechless by the Russian missile strikes. This is from South Front. Here, let's pick up a bit.
On December 14th, Russian President Vladimir Putin held an annual large press conference dedicated to summing up the results of the year. The president spoke with the citizens of the country in a direct line format. Of course, much attention was paid to the ongoing special military operation in Ukraine. Kiev could not help but try to commit another provocation amid such an important political event in Russia. On the night of December 14th, 9 Ukrainian drones were shot down over the Russian Moscow and Kaluga regions. Another Kiev attack failed, but did not go unpunished. Yesterday, military facilities and strategically important infrastructure across Ukraine were subjected to several massive attacks by Russian drones and missiles. At night, Ukrainian forces in Sinkova in the Kherson region, as well as Ukrainian ports on the Danube in the Odessa region, came under drone strikes. During the attack, one of the Russian UAVs crashed in Romania, not far from the Ukrainian port of Reni. In the afternoon, a new wave of missile strikes hit the Ukrainian military airfield Starokonstantinov in the Khmelnytsky region. Russian strikes were also reported in the area of the Zhuliani Airport in Kiev and in the Zhytomyr region. In the evening and at night, another wave of strikes hit targets in the Dnipropetrovsk, Kharkiv, and Khmelnytsky regions. Perhaps Starokonstantinov airfield was hit again. In response, the Ukrainian Air Force replied that they would not report on the results of Russian strikes with Kinzhal missiles. The Speaker of the Air Force proudly stated that the Russians should draw their own conclusions whether their missiles hit targets or not. The Russians definitely know where their missiles are hitting, while the Ukrainian Air Force has always lied about intercepting all of them, and their statements have always been refuted by the Ukrainian authorities and reporters themselves. In fact, neither Ukraine nor NATO have the means to effectively intercept Russian Kinzhal missiles. Their reports on the effectiveness of Russian strikes should be nothing but an effective advertisement of Russian weapons. In its turn, the helpless Ukrainian army struck at the long-suffering city of Mariupol. On the night of December 15th, Ukrainian forces fired three long-range missiles in the direction of the city. Presumably, Storm Shadow missiles were used for the attack. According to official information, a mobile boiler house and a warehouse of building materials were destroyed. Local sources clarified that the strikes targeted the territory of a concrete plant, which is of great importance for the reconstruction of the city. Unable to win on the battlefield, Kiev is trying its best to prevent Russians from building a new peaceful life in the regions it has lost.
Very nice report. Very nice. Meanwhile, NATO is preparing for sea battles in relation to Ukraine, also from the South Front. Here's more.
Well, Zelensky travels the world in search of money and weapons, and Washington allegedly counts the latest aid packages for Ukraine. Europe continues attempts to support the life of the dying Kiev regime. The Daily Telegraph stated that several European leaders are calling on Britain to lead a new coalition of countries that will provide military assistance to the war-torn country. In Europe, interest in supporting Ukraine and its conflict with Russia is sharply decreasing. Germany and France, which previously were leaders in providing aid to Kiev, have now lost their positions and are not seeking to restore them. The proposal to transfer the leadership to the UK could be a new impetus for the war in Ukraine. So, to strengthen Ukraine's maritime capability, the United Kingdom and Norway are going to create a new coalition that will supply ships and cargo vehicles to Kiev. In addition, the member countries promised to provide long-term support to Ukraine, including military training to improve security for the Black Sea. The British Ministry of Defense has already promised to transfer two Sandown-type minesweepers to Ukraine. These ships are designed to demine the coastline and ensure the safe passage of large vessels. London also hopes that this will help Kiev strengthen its ability to operate at sea and increase exports of Ukrainian products.
This is clearly a case of good money being thrown after bad. It's pointless. Meanwhile, there's a very interesting development in the Red Sea, where the Houthis have been attacking cargo ships. They are showing great integrity, courage, and ability. They are ferocious. The Houthis conducted two attacks on cargo ships in the Red Sea. One vessel was hit with a projectile, causing a fire, but the crew suffered no injuries. The Houthis have carried out a series of operations against ships near Yemen over the Israeli onslaught in Gaza. It's so good to see somebody doing something about it. The increased risk to shipping have led to a major shipping company halting transit through the Red Sea. This is very welcome. It's got a lot of ramifications. Here is another report about it. How are the Houthi attacks affecting the Red Sea global trade? London. Yemen's Houthi rebels have escalated attacks on ships passing through the Red Sea during the Israeli-Hamas war, raising concern about the impact of the flow of oil, grain, and consumer goods through a major global trade artery. Israeli vessels have been targeted. The threat to trade has grown as container ships and oil tankers flagged with countries like Norway and Liberia have been attacked or drawn missile fire while traversing the waterway between Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, where about 10% of the world's trade passes through the Red Sea. Now, they may be flying the flags of Norway and Liberia, but that does not mean they are not bringing weapons and supplies for Israel. The Houthis seem to know exactly what they're doing. Meanwhile, another report, shipping giants halt travel amid attack. At least eight ships have been assaulted in recent weeks in the key waterway linking the Indian Ocean and the Red Sea. Two global shipping majors, Denmark's Maersk and Germany's Hapag-Lloyd, halted their vessel passage to the Red Sea Friday, citing security risks. In their statements, both companies said the measure comes in response to a string of attack by Yemen-based Houthi rebels on ships traversing the area. That from RT. Meanwhile, breaking news. Insurance companies pull coverage for ship in the Red Sea. international, this is Hal Turner, international insurance companies have stopped insuring ships transporting cargo across the Red Sea to and from Israel because Yemen military action against that shipping makes a risk to insurance companies too great. Without insurance coverage, no ship will travel to and from Israel, which means a complete blockade of international commerce. Hal Turner's editorial opinion? This will likely trigger U.S. military action against Yemen. The U.S. will simply not allow such a condition to exist, which interferes with international commerce. I suspect, Hal Turner speaking, U.S. military planners are already drawing up a list of targets inside Yemen and will submit an attack plan later today. I also suspect U.S. Navy and Air Force will be given authorization to engage Yemen forces over this coming weekend. It's my personal view that whatever the U.S. is going to do will be done very quickly to nip this problem in the bud before it goes much further. That's Hal Turner's report. Meanwhile, Iran, get this, warns of tremendous problems if the U.S. establishes a maritime task force in the Red Sea. This is serious stuff. Iran's defense minister yesterday warned of tremendous problems being caused by a U.S.-backed plan to establish a multinational maritime task force in the Red Sea. There is no room in the region for outsiders to have such maneuvers, Mohammad Reza Rashtani said in a statement cited by the semi-official ISNA news agency. They, American, would definitely not attempt such a thing if they make such, he really means should, definitely not attempt such a thing. If they make such a foolish move, they'll face tremendous problems. The defense minister warned nobody can make a move in a region where we have predominance. He didn't specify exactly what measure Tehran might intend to take in response to the proposal, but I think there's not much doubt about the U.S. intending to move forward. Meanwhile, the UAE, Jordan, the Saudis, and Bahrain have created an alternative shipping routes to Israel bypassing the Red Sea. Friends of Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan opened a new passage to deliver goods to Israel, replacing the Red Sea. A first batch of commercial shipments loaded with fresh foodstuffs arrived from Dubai to Israel through a new alternative land bridge to the Red Sea through Dubai ports, passing through Saudi Arabia and Jordan. The length of the alternative bridge is 2,000 kilometers, and the journey takes 2 days. So there's an alternative. Meanwhile, the United States has ordered a carrier to remain in the Mediterranean near Israel. This is what I would describe as a sitting duck. This, I dare say, is going to be the carrier that will be struck in a false flag attack blamed on Iran. Washington. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier and another warship to remain in the Mediterranean for several more weeks to maintain a two-carrier presence near Israel as its war with Hamas grinds on. It would be the third time the Ford deployment has been extended, underscoring the continued concerns about volatility in the region during Israel's war in Gaza. The U.S. has two carriers in the region, a rarity in recent years. I reiterate my interpretation. This is going to be the key to a false flag to initiate a world war. Here now is an absolutely stunning article you must appreciate. Israel Shamir, globalism is Jewish supremacism. I repeat, globalism is Jewish supremacism. I'll be right back. It's all right.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
About to share with you is hugely important. It was republished by Henry Mackow on December 17, 2023, originally authored in 2014, but it is dead spot on. Judaism seeks to replace God. This is what the scamdemic vaccines, Agenda 2030, and the New World Order are all about. It is possible there are no or almost no Jews who fully understand what the Jews want, Shamir writes. In the Jewish globalist paradigm, Israel wants to unite the world under her spiritual guidance. The temple of God is to be located in Jerusalem, the center of this Jewish-ordered universe, and all nations will bring their tribute to it. The nation will worship God by serving Israel. Shamir says that deification of the Jewish people requires that people have no other God but material gain and sensual pleasure. Here's Henry's piece. Israel Shamir's new collection of essays, Pardes, contains a prescient and shocking warning to Jews and to humanity as a whole. Judaism wants to make the Jewish people the intermediary between God and man, replacing Christ, says Shamir, an Israeli Jew who converted to Christianity. Essentially, he says, the Jews want to be God. Jewish messianism, the building of a humanist earthly paradise, according to Jewish specifications, replaces spiritual salvation. The historical mission of our world revolution is to rearrange a new culture of humanity to replace a previous social system. This conversion and reorganization of global society requires two essential steps. First, the destruction of the old established order. Second, design and imposition of the new order. The first stage requires elimination of all frontier borders, nationhood and culture, public policy, ethical barriers, and social definitions. Only then can the destroyed old system element be replaced by the imposed system elements of our new order. The first task of our world revolution is destruction. Those words were authored by Nahum Goldman, founder of the World Jewish Congress, in an essay entitled The Spirit of Militarism, published, guess what, 1915. But the point is, he's tying together the New World Order with Jewish supremacism, and I think he's got it exactly right. The Jewish Holocaust replaces Christ's passion. That's why it takes precedent over the other 60 million people who died in World War II. It's possible there are no or almost no Jews who fully understand what the Jews want, Shamir writes. The term, the Jews, refers to individual Jews in the same way that the Catholic Church is related to individual Catholics or beehives to bees. There is no subjective personal guilt associated with individual Jews unless their specific actions are inaction or criminal or sinful per se. Thus, this discourse should help an individual to decide whether he wants to be a Jew or not, in the same way one may choose whether one wants to be a communist or a Quaker. For it is my deep conviction that to be or not to be a Jew is an act of free will. In the Jewish globalist paradigm, Israel wants to unite the world under her spiritual guidance. The temple of God is to be located in Jerusalem, the center of this Jewish-ordered universe, and all nations will bring their tribute to it. The nation will worship God by serving Israel. Shamir says a deification of the Jewish people requires that people have no other God but material gain and sensual pleasure. In the Jewish reading, the exclusive sacrality, sacredness of Jerusalem and of Israel calls for the desacralization of the nations and the rest of the world. There will be no churches nor mosques, no Christian nor Muslim priests. The world will become a profane desert populated by profane beasts, the nations and their shepherds, the Jews. It begins with small things, removal of Christian religious signs from schools and public places. But our souls interpret the surrender of spirit as proof of Jewish victory. The Jewish universe is being built brick by brick, and one of its signs is lowering the educational and spiritual life of Gentiles. American films degrade their viewers. For total victory of the Jewish spirit will be reached only when a debilitated, illiterate goy will thankfully lick a Jewish hand and bless him for his guidance.
Love. nothing you can do that can't be done.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Younger, so much younger than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now
these days are gone,
days
I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find
I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around.
Other reports confirm that the situation is very, very dire in the arrogance, the incredible arrogance of the Jews. Here from Information Liberation, Israel should make Gaza resemble Auschwitz, an Israeli town leader says. Israel should be sending Palestinian Gazans fleeing in the fighting to refugee camps in Lebanon, with the entire Gaza Strip being emptied and leveled and then turned into a museum like the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. Metula Council Head David Ezzolona told 103 FM, the Jerusalem Post reports, this appears to be a common attitude. Meanwhile, if anything even more horrific, press TV reports, Israeli bulldozers buried Palestinians alive inside tents in Gaza Hospital. Israeli bulldozers have demolished tents of displaced Palestinians outside a hospital in the Gaza Strip, burying people alive inside them. Video footage from Al Jazeera showed mangled tents and belongings of Palestinians in the courtyard of the Kamal Adwan Hospital in Bethlehem, north of Gaza, on Saturday. The report said at least 20 bodies now lie in the yard. Dozens of displaced, sick, and wounded people were buried alive. The occupation Israeli bulldozers trampled the tents of the displaced people in the hospital yard and brutally crushed them. Remember, shades of Rachel Carey. Meanwhile, Hamas has been valiant in fighting back. Here we have reports again from the South Front. Hamas says that fighters hit 100 Israeli military vehicles, shares combat footage. The armed wing of the Hamas movement on December 15th said it fired, killed, and wounded several Israeli troops and targeted more than 100 vehicles of the IDF in battles across the Gaza Strip over the past 5 days. Remember, we know they've previously taken out over 100, maybe 150. We're talking about tanks and armored personnel carriers. And the Israelis are suffering severe casualties. This is why they're resorting to bombing and flooding the tunnels. They cannot beat Hamas in actual combat, especially given the rubble they created, as Colonel McGregor observed. They were going to limit their tanks and other track vehicle capability of movement and make them easy target for Hamas. Well, Hamas is doing the job. In a recorded passage, the IZZ Ad-Din al-Qassim Brigade spokesperson said several Israeli troops were killed or wounded, that Hamas fighters are using bunker-busting grenades, destroying houses where Israeli soldiers were taking positions, and more. And more.
I'm on the air now. See, I've got another show. Call me in 2 hours. I'll be okay. Can you do that? Okay.
Jim, I can't hear anything.
This is, thanks, Yuli. Meanwhile, while Hamas is fighting valiantly, we have Operation Al-Qassa Flood, Day 69. Reports of Israeli soldiers shooting women and children execution style in Gaza do not have any doubt. Casualties, 18,608 killed. Plus, more than 50,595 wounded in Gaza, 286 Palestinians killed in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. The brutality of it all continues unabated. Meanwhile, Scott Ritter, who was once an enthusiast for Israel, has come to a realization that Israel is not the same. Check this out. Brass Check TV. Israel has degenerated.
I've watched Israel erode since that time. When I took my wife there in 1995, because I used to travel there a lot, so I said, hey, why don't you come there for a long weekend? Let me show you Israel. She fell in love with it, me. The Israeli people are wonderful people. Wonderful people. Everybody's wonderful. God, I haven't met bad people yet. I mean, I have met bad people, but I can't paint certain people in a young, vibrant, full of life, energetic, beautiful, you know, friendly. Man, Israel was great. And my wife's religious. Like I said, I'm not too religious, but to walk in the land of Jesus, to walk in the land of Moses, to walk to go to the River Jordan to see where Jesus was baptized, to do the Via della Rosa, you know, the where Jesus walked with the cross, to see all these things. For her, it was deeply moving, deeply moving. For me, I'm a historian, and to see the places of the Bible, because I view the Bible as, you know, as history. So I'm looking at it all, deeply moving, to see the Al-Aqsa Mosque and realize it's the third holiest shrine for the Islamic religion, to see the Wailing Wall, to realize it's the remnant of the Jewish temple. All this stuff just resonates, and you just sit there and go, my God, what a wonderful place. My Israeli host said, kick a rock, and you uncover centuries of history. And it's just, whoa, man. We went back in 2009, totally different country. They have a wall. When they talk about apartheid Israel, it's apartheid Israel. They built a wall to separate them from the Palestinians. They treat the Palestinians as second-class citizens. The fear that existed in Israel, totally different country. These people weren't attractive to me anymore because they were hate-filled. They were feared. That was Benjamin Netanyahu. He did that to Israel. He ruined Israel. He destroyed Israel. And so now I take a look at what's happening here. And again, I'm not somebody who was a Palestinian activist. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not somebody who got on the boat to go to Gaza and all that stuff. I was doing other stuff. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying it wasn't on my radar. But then when this conflict happens, it's sort of a wake-up call. And you're going, whoa, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And once you start asking that question, you realize that it was inevitable it was going to happen, because you can't treat a people the way the Palestinian people have been treated by Israel. This isn't the Israel of Yitzhak Rabin. This isn't an Israel that's looking for a Palestinian state or a Palestinian solution. This is an Israel governed by a Likud party whose basic tenet, you know how they criticize AOC and Talib, the representative from Michigan, you know, from the river to the sea? Well, you know, Hamas came into being in the 1990s. You know, maybe the late 1980s. The Likud party came into being in the 1950s. Their original mantra, their charter, is from the river to the sea. That meaning there will be no Arabs. They invented it. They invented it. And they're in power right now in Israel. And these are horrible people. They don't believe in Israel as defined by international law of the United Nations. They believe in Eretz Israel, the biblical Eretz Israel. And they want to take it all over. That means Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Saudi Arabia. That's what they want. That's their vision. If the Bible says Moses walked on it, they own it. And they're occupying land that was stolen from Palestinian people. And then they take the survivors of the crimes, the murders that took place, the ethnic cleansing and genocide, and stuff them into open-air concentration camps like Gaza. And then you wonder why the Palestinians rise up and revolt. I mean, I'll probably get in a lot of trouble for saying this right now, but my sympathies are with Hamas, not with Israel. I used to be Team Israel. I was on Team Israel. I was there. I helped stop missiles fall against Israel. I worked with Israel for 4 years to create the opportunity for peace. And I believed in Israel's right to exist. And I still believe in Israel's right to exist, but not the way they define it now. There must be a Palestinian state. The Palestinian people have every bit the same right to live the way the Israelis live, on land that belongs to them with no Israeli control. But you can't have that if you have an Israeli government that says the Palestinians shouldn't exist at all. And here's the most important part, have a Palestinian authority. Mahmoud Abbas is the president from the Palestinian Liberation Organization and his military wing Fatah, who have surrendered to the Israelis. These are people who've taken billions of dollars of aid, and they built giant villas for themselves, and they travel first class around the world, and they live the high life, and their sole job is to prevent security problems for Israel. Now, you're a Palestinian, and you sit there and you say, who's doing anything to help me get my homeland? You realize that the president of Palestine isn't. He's doing the exact opposite. He's working with the Israelis to guarantee there will never be a Palestinian homeland, which for him is okay because he needs that uncertainty to generate more money to enrich himself, stealing from the Palestinians, from the refugees who are still in their refugee camps. Only one governing body, one governing party has stood up for the Palestinian people, and that's Hamas. The Palestinian people need a champion, and that's the only person, that's the only entity that's stood up so far to champion them. I don't condone terrorism. I don't condone the slaughter of civilians. But, you know, when you're an occupied people and you've been subjected to the brutality of the Israeli occupation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's brutal. It's brutal, and it has been for some time now. You have a right to rise up. You have a right to assert your God-given right to be a human being on a land that belongs to you and belongs to your people. So you reap what you sow. Israel has sown the whirlwind, or sown the wind. They're going to reap the whirlwind.
I so admire Scott Ritter. He has so much integrity. He acknowledges when he made a mistake that he's changed his beliefs. Meanwhile, Israel has crossed a Muslim red line. This is about Colonel Douglas McGregor.
Well, the first point is that I'm not sure we can at this stage. I think escalation in the future is inevitable. Someone said to me, well, it looks like we'll have a ceasefire and maybe this war in Gaza will end and we'll come to some sort of new settlement. I'm very skeptical of that for the reasons that I've already outlined. I think the proverbial red line for the Muslim world has been crossed by Israel. Israel is now finding itself at war with the entire Islamic world. Israel is going to be isolated from a large part of the rest of the world. We are going to end up being Israel's only true friend, period. How much can that work to sustain Israel is the question, and I'm not sure it can. I think we may see lulls in the fighting, temporary ceasefires. Then I think it will erupt again and again until ultimately the entire region is involved and crushes Israel.
That's what I fear right now is looking at this objectively as I can. I agree with you. I think that a Rubicon has been crossed, that the hatred now among Israelis for the Arabs and the Palestinians is now almost, I don't know that it can be healed, certainly not in a generation, and vice versa. The hatred is so great. I don't think the two sides can live in peace anymore, certainly not in the foreseeable future. And so that says, okay, either Israel decides to, all right, I'm not going to do what I said, and I'm going to allow the Palestinians to continue to live here, to self-sustain, and knowing that Netanyahu's claim of wanting to end the threat won't end, or they go the other path and say, all right, then we're going to drive them all out, and we're going to get rid of all the Arabs out of the West Bank and Palestine, and we're going to have one Israel. But then that would almost certainly spark a regional war against Israel, just like you said. I just don't see a place to thread the needle. I don't see any way that it avoids those outcomes. Can you see something I don't see?
Frankly, at this point, no. I think the Israelis will press ahead, and they will empty Gaza of most of its population, if not all of it. And Gaza will be destroyed. Now, at that point, I think it's a full stop, because if they, even though there are many who would like to press ahead in the West Bank of Palestine, I don't think that that's going to happen. So I think the result will be this regional alliance that coalesces and all agrees that this is the end. Israel must be eliminated, must be destroyed. Again, I don't know how you stop that other than calling an immediate halt right now.
And that's not going to happen. There's not going to be any immediate halt. Meanwhile, there's lots of recognition. Chuck Baldwin talking about the 800-pound gorilla in every room. He's talking about Israel and its role in the world and the damage it's wreaking. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin comes to the UAE and he's treated like a king, like royalty. Meanwhile, if you listen to the discussions about the possible role of America militarily in the Middle East, the situation is dire. Amid recruiting woes, active duty end strike to drop again in 2024. The smallest U.S. military force in more than 80 years is about to get even smaller. Under end strength levels outlined in the annual defense appropriation bill passed by the Senate Wednesday, expected to be passed by the House Thursday. So I believe those have been passed. The total number of active duty troops in the armed forces will drop to 1,285,500. Actually, this was dated Thursday, December 14th. That's down nearly 64,000 in the last 3 years, but it's much worse because they're having to lower the standards. They're having to reduce the mental ability, the background, the education, even the moral standards. It's just grotesque. Meanwhile, the Senate's going to return next week to work on a border deal for Ukraine aid. Will that come to pass December 14th? Senate Majority Leader Schumer decided to keep senators in town next week to continue negotiation on a border deal that will unlock a massive $111 billion spending package with military aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The holiday research was set to start on Friday, but he's delaying his negotiations. He claims are progressing. Well, we'll see. I do believe it was right to link any further foreign aid with taking measures in relation to our own border. In the meanwhile, Trump is steamrolling the opposition. I mean, in every poll after poll after poll, he's ahead. Trump leads Biden in Wisconsin by 4 and Georgia by 6 and Michigan by 4 and Pennsylvania by 2, Nevada by 3, North Carolina by 9. It goes on and on and on. All the efforts to trash Trump have failed.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Comes the sun.
comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Well, let me just highlight some of the other stories. There were so many. It was a veritable flood over the long weekend. West Virginia Secretary of State 2020 election was stolen by the CIA. A Supreme Court roadblocks Trump's exclusion from the ballot in Colorado on the grounds of that obscure 14th provision of the 14th Amendment. Boston mayor posts pictures of elected officials enjoying a Christmas party that excluded whites, calling it a special moment. Thousands of Methodist congregations leave the denomination over LGBTQ. Democrat staffer fired after filming gay sex tape in the Senate hearing room. He was involved. Who else? I have my suspicion. A certain prominent South Carolina senator whose first name is Lindsey. Man charged for beheading a satanic display at the Iowa State Capitol. This was a satanic display. I suppose it was freedom of speech issue to have it out there, but a former Navy veteran decapitated it. Meanwhile, the Biden admin is changing its tactics and asking states to pass gun bans that cannot be passed by the federal government. Then we have a series of issues related to Alex Jones, where the court has upheld a $75,000 fine against him for missing a Sandy Hook deposition that he's offered to pay Newtown families at least $55 million over a school shooting hoax. Sandy Hook families are offering Alex Jones a deal, but it's all totally fraudulent. Check out my Twitter. I have a piece about it where, as you know, based upon my research and the additional information I learned from participants in the drill last year, there's no way any of this was real. It's unbelievable. Total bullshit, political propaganda, all intended to manipulate the American people. And if you put all these together, you can see where that Jewish agenda to destroy America is moving forward. All the elements that were being articulated there about how it would be done. Globalism is Jewish supremacism taking place, including, you know, getting rid of God brick by brick. Debilitating illiterate goy will thankfully lick a Jewish hand. Actually destroying our legal system is part and parcel of it as well. And, you know, Alex Jones, he's being used as an exemplar for even challenging an official narrative. Alex, I'm sorry, is a slender reed to base those claims upon, because he has backed out, he's equivocated, he's been on both sides of the issue. Repeatedly, I offered to come to his assistance with evidence, but I was even turned down by his own attorney. Right back, and we'll take your calls after this break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the second hour of Authentic News. This 18th day of December 2023, right here on RBN Live. I've added a link to the tweet at Jim Fetzer, which begins, "Would you be convinced if I could demonstrate that at least three of the Sandy Hook victims were alive and well? Would that strike you as significant? Consider what I've learned from contact with two of the participants and their dear friend. Don't miss this." And I'm talking about Emily Parker. Y'all remember, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, Noah Posner, the youngest member of the class, quite adorable as a child, and Vicky Soto, the teacher who, we were told, heroically gave her life. I guarantee 100% all three are alive and well. Check out my tweet. Share it with your friends. Ask how they can deal with this if they still believe Sandy Hook was real. Meanwhile, we got a couple of callers lined up. Charlie in Florida. Charlie, join the conversation.
How you doing, Professor? It's good to talk to you again. Listen, I just wanted to add a couple of things. First, I wanted to comment on the, the Congress, the Senate, and the House both passed a bill that said that no one could defund NATO without congressional approval, right?
They denied a president the right to pull out of NATO. I'm not sure at all that that's even constitutional, but it may be. I'd be interested in more about it. That's because Trump,
They passed it. Yeah, they passed it on Friday. I don't think it's constitutional. They're doing it because of Trump, see?
Of course.
I mentioned a long time ago that Trump would, the way he'd get us out of the war over in Ukraine, he would defund NATO.
Yeah.
This is why they did it, okay? But what I wanted to point out is that they passed this law on the 15th, right, on Friday. And then on the 16th, just probably less than 24 hours later, Russia hits NATO with a missile, right?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, do you see the connection there?
I think it could well be. I mean, if NATO is going to continue to be funded, if there's no way out, then they got to bite the bullet. They're going to take them out. And Russia is superior militarily to all of NATO and the U.S. combined. Mark my words.
Well, see, this is also, I feel this is a very dangerous precedent for the Senate and the Congress to do this, because they're basically saying, okay, we're gonna pit NATO against Russia now instead of just backing the Ukraine, because they've been getting so much blowback about funding the Ukraine now. You know, Ukraine, and they're not going to be funding it. They're going to try to sneak around the corner and try to do it through NATO, see? And yeah. I think Russia sees it, but this could be a prelude to World War III if we get into NATO, because that's a whole different issue now.
Of course.
NATO.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a different issue.
Look, it had to do with the whole fraudulent taking out of Nord Stream 2. I mean, the worry was that cheap energy from Russia benefiting Germany massively because they were in economic cooperation. There was no need for NATO anymore, and the military-industrial complex would lose this big moneymaker. Their profit margins would drop. Thus, they wanted to do something to make sure it didn't happen. And yet both Biden and Nuland declaring that if Russia invades Ukraine, Nord Stream will not go forward. And they're doing it, and it's just been savage on Europe. For example, instead of benefiting from the cheap Russian gas, they're having to pay four or five times more for liquefied natural gas shipped all the way across the Atlantic from the United States. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And I just find this whole thing grotesque. It's backfiring. Russia is prevailing. Europe is suffering. The policies involved here have backfired massively, Charlie. I think you see it. And the risk of a world war has dramatically increased. I could not agree more.
Well, thank you, Professor. I also wanted to comment on the Alex Jones issue that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have to admit, I enjoyed that video when I saw it, when I saw the Alex Jones Tucker interview. But I got to admit, there's something here that I think that people are not seeing. And I think, why? Why didn't Tucker interview Alex Jones, right? Okay, back when Trump was running, Alex Jones, I used to work in the construction field back then. Okay, and I could go, and I'd walk around a construction site back then when Trump was running, and every worker, I don't care if they were a plumber, electrician, they were digging ditches, whatever, they all had the radio on listening to Alex Jones. They loved him. Okay?
Yeah.
We're talking about your working class people. And we're talking about the average Joe out here, the middle American, the real strength of America. They were all behind Trump, and they all listened to Alex Jones. And they believed him when he said all this about, you know, the stuff that was going on with Sandy Hook, right?
Yeah.
Well, now he's turned. I think now that Tucker's gotten involved, I think that they know that Tucker's planning on running for vice president maybe. Okay, even Melania's come out and leaked something that she thought Tucker would be a good vice president. The president's been asked. We've seen preludes to this going a lot of way, all over. So here's what I think. I think Tucker's people, okay, looked at Alex Jones and they said, this guy can be a source for lots and lots of votes, but there's one thing, one problem, and that's his views on the Sandy Hook thing. And we've got to cleanse him of that. So now Jones is going around saying, you know, that it was all you persuaded him, right? And other people, yeah. It was all your fault, right?
Right.
That's right. You follow me?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think that's going to backfire on him, because the people I know who listen to Alex Jones, the plumbers, the drywall men, the ditch diggers, the concrete people, they all know that they don't like somebody that turns on somebody, right? And they don't like people that they believed him the first time. They're not going to believe him now.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to buy into it. So I think in a way, Tucker and his media people have probably laid a rotten egg.
I'll tell you, Charlie, I got so much evidence. I am so loaded for bear on Sandy Hook that I tweeted to Elon that since he was talking about me, the professor, and Wolfgang, the school safety expert, how about a debate between me and Alex Jones? You think for a second he'd be willing to do that? I would turn him into mincemeat. And I've got so much evidence now, Charlie, after nearly a year of interacting with actual participants who gave me more and more goods, I'm telling you. This is going to backfire on them. And if Tucker thinks he can ride Alex Jones into a getaway from Sandy Hook because Alex says he now thinks it was real, he's deluding himself. Tucker's got to be smarter than that. I've always worried about him being wet behind the ears about conspiracies. This one could really burn him badly.
Yeah, but I think that's the plan. I think that's what they're cooking up. I really do. Because they got to cleanse Alex Jones. They got to make him look good to the public again so that he can come back and start broadcasting and pushing for Trump and pushing for Tucker, probably. Who knows the further down the line, see?
Trump doesn't really. Trump doesn't really need any. He doesn't need any help. Trump could run with Mickey Mouse and he'd still win overwhelmingly if we have anything like an honest count. I mean, that's the key thing. I have liked Tucker so much in the past, but there are ways in which I think he's naive or dissembling, and I'm not happy about that. Better if he's just naive. I thought maybe I could help educate him. I've sent Tucker's, you know, outfit at the time information, like my false flag checklist. I mean, everyone ought to download my law enforcement false flag / stage event checklist with Brian Davidson, because there you get a tutorial on how to sort these things out and a whole bunch of links where we expose one false flag after another. So, Charlie, I think you're making good points, Charlie, good ones. I'm real glad you called. You got a final thought?
Yeah, we need to kick everybody. We need to go up there to Senate and kick everybody out of there. Everybody. Every last one of them. The Senate passed it, and the House voted 310 to 118 to pass this thing for never to stop funding NATO. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, are we serfs? Are my children, grandchildren going to be born into the world to support NATO?
Yeah.
No, this is just crazy.
Yeah. And Charlie, I think you're right about the popularity of Alex. I mean, he's a down home guy. I mean, he's like a working class guy. That's his persona. And I think that's one of the reasons he's resonated so much with working people. I think you're absolutely right. But standing on both sides of this issue, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not going to relent until everyone understands that this was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Even the Supreme Court was scared shitless over my case and wouldn't even publish the appendices to make them available to the public when I went up to the Supreme Court with my petition for reconsideration, because they by themselves blow the case out of the water. And I've made them available.
Everybody that looks into it.
Yeah.
Everybody that looks into it knows it was fake. I mean, I concluded it was fake way, way back there before I ever, just by looking at the cars that were in the parking lot. They were all old.
Yeah. Good. Very good.
Give me a break.
Charlie.
They were 10 years older than the regular models you would see on the street.
Charlie, that's a wonderful point. I really like that. That's excellent, Charlie. Listen, you plan to call in again soon, okay? I really like your call. Thanks,
all
Charlie.
Right. Talk to you later. Bye.
You got it. Vinny in New Jersey. Vinny, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. That was a wonderful call. I just enjoyed that because there's nothing like people like your last caller that just points a little bit more things out than you and I do.
And yes.
To hear that, and it's true. That's why people voted for Trump. Who's the dick figures, the people that lost, you know, part of those 65,000 factories that Congress sent to China. They were listening to Alex, but Alex always let them in. Something I'd like to point out about him, I used to always go to InfoWars, not to see what he posted so much, but to see if he posted things that I learned that day. And 29 standing ovations was the biggest tell for Alex. Do you know about that?
No, tell me.
29 standing ovations in Congress. That all the congressmen, almost everybody to a man, stood up 29 times for Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the biggest tell I've ever seen.
Should have been.
Why would he be in the House of Representatives?
Yeah. That's a very nice point,
that's
Penny.
That's something people have to see before they realize that Congress is completely owned. I mean, there's been individuals that speak out, but for the most part, you know, they have to know about the pledge that Dean McKinney talked about.
Yeah.
They have to know that so that they realize how screwed we are and how we let it all go. Now, there's just something I'd like to point out that people could go to, and it's on PBS. It's about Ruby Ridge. You know about Ruby Ridge, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. That's where they could hear, where I first heard the term white supremacist. Now, you can hear this on PBS, where they're, you know, demeaning the Weaver family.
Yeah.
And the Weavers were like a lot of people, were part of America that lost jobs back in the day. And they were speaking out about Congress being owned by Jews. Zionists, more to the point. No, I shouldn't say Jews. Zionists. And you could hear it online. And I heard it by accident, and it brought me back to that time, where so many Americans were just pissed at Congress, and nobody could do about it. But that has to be heard by the average American. And understand that that's where they started, just by name-calling people. Because they have no facts, so they must call you names.
Yes.
That's all they got. Because if they have a debate, a rational debate with somebody like you said in Alex Jones. Listen, if I had a debate with Alex Jones, I would make him look like crap. So imagine what you would do. But you can't stop, and people must know these. They need to realize the real enemy in America. And that's why this is so dangerous. Because we could go to war, not for us, just for the people that rule Congress. That's all. Take it easy, Jim. It was nice talking to you.
Very nice, Vinny. Very nice. Excellent. Thanks a lot, Vinny. Very much. Renee in North Carolina. Renee, welcome back.
Well, hello. First, I'd like to straighten a little something out, because people call in after my calls and say erroneous things and twist my words.
Yes.
I'm not on the side of the brown people, okay? I'm on the side of the truth. Those brown people, you're kicking down when you kick at them. Who is waiting? You know, the State Department likes to use what it calls the carrot and the stick. Who is waving the carrot of money? Somebody's organizing them over there, and they're promising them money, and they're helping them get over here. That's who you need to be angry about. It's easy to kick down at those people. It takes guts to punch up. It's our own people. Somebody in this country is doing this, and it's not just Biden and not just the liberals so they can bring them vote. These are rich and elite people. They have a plan, and I don't think it's good for us. We can't have an open border, okay? But like I say, this is too organized to believe that it's just those people in their little hut one day going, yeah, I think I'll take a long walk, okay? I don't believe that. So the thing is, you know, I think people don't look at Israel. Israel, to me, after another proxy war, just like the Ukraine, that is a proxy war. The way we send the money and the weapons, people need to look at it that way. Oh, poop. It's really the same thing. And they set that up years ago. The Anglo-American Empire set that up. And really what's going on in Israel is another proxy war for the Middle East port, okay? Just like the Ukraine. this is all about, I like Charlie's call, this is this whole NATO thing, the world domination and everything. Who has the 800-plus military bases around the world? Okay. You know what? It's not the Jews. Okay? So the thing is, now, some of them, we have some of everybody in this. But you see, apparently, I'm one of the only old patriots that doesn't have dementia. I remember...
Renee, hang on, hang on. Hang on, we'll continue right after this break. Stand by.
Dehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Let me just say before I continue with Renee that Nancy in California, if you want to call back, Nancy, I'll be glad to get you on the air. Renee, continue your thoughts.
Well, I agree with Charlie. Every one of those senators needs to be kicked out. They're all rotten, okay? and I'm saying this just to get under the skin and give heart palpitations to some of these men out here who always want to kick down. You know what demographic group most of those senators belong to? Oh, yeah, they'd be yours, okay? Throughout the history of this country and still today, they are occupy the majority of the seats in that Senate. Yeah, they be white boys, okay? So the thing is, you know, these people go, oh, those dirty Jews are bribing and blackmailing our politicians. Well, let me get this straight. Maybe if they hadn't done dirty little deeds that make them blackmailable, or they weren't such cheap prostitutes that they are for sale, actually for pretty darn cheap. So where really should the blame go? Huh?
Yeah. I know, Renee. You're making a great point.
Exactly. So, you know, people want to put all the blame on those who are different than them so they can feel better about the group they belong to. It takes courage. You know, in some ways, this is not our fault. I call this the narcissistic nation because, look, in some ways, we're all shaped by our culture. And in our educational system, the narrative we were all raised on was American exceptionalism. We're just a cat's meow, okay? Well, when you have that attitude, you're not doing a lot of introspection. You know, we were raised to be good little narcissists, okay, who do not examine ourselves and look down on everyone else. I mean, it is characteristic narcissistic behavior. But in some ways, it's not our fault. The people who set the narrative brainwashed us with the educational system from birth. And, you know, it's like they say, it's like, you know, when you get set a road map in young people's head that is erroneous, it stays with them pretty much forever, just like all of us can still remember our phone number as a child, but we can't remember the new number we got a month ago. It sets a map down in our head that affects our thinking for the rest of our lives. And so the thing is, and I want to point out, too, like, you know, people are forgetting. I remember in the old days we used to talk about, remember that picture of Pat Robertson on the front of Time magazine with his little lion's paw pose and how in his own book he said how they planned on taking over this country and the world like by stealth? Nothing is as it appears, just like they lied to us about the Ukraine. And I'm not saying the Jews are innocent. I'm on the side of the Gaza, the Palestinians, no doubt. No doubt I'm on their side, okay? But the thing is, we too much want to blame the people who are different. And let me tell you, this is something, if you really want to, like, give heart palpitations to some people in the, quote, patriot movement, bring up the Council for National Policy. Oh, look that up, folks. Look up the Council for National Policy because when they leaked a membership list, you will find not only with some of these evangelical want to bring about Armageddon evangelicals, also there are there's some patriot people in there. Yeah, so Paul Craig Roberts is in there. And so the thing is, everybody look into the Council for National Policy because there are some people in the patriot movement that are involved, even though they try to pretend they're not. They're involved with some of these people who want to bring about Armageddon. They're crazy, okay?
Renee, give us your final thought for today.
Well, just remember... Remember that guano crazy lady that Trump appointed who was not qualified with Hobby Lobby and her, like, brother-in-law who runs one of those, I can't think of names right now, one of those kind of contractor war groups. He appointed her to the Department of Education where no way that woman was qualified for that seat, okay? There's problems on all sides of this. And no, I hate Biden. He's terrible. He has beady eyes. And I don't trust him either. But the thing is, I even heard Megyn Kelly admit the other day, and she brought up a couple examples. I hate to tell y'all this. You're not going to like it. But Megyn Kelly admitted this even, that Trump is starting to slip mentally like fine. Y'all can go find the clip yourself, okay?
Thanks, Renee. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors. Help me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at Republic Broadcast.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momink, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
I look at all the lovely people.
Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, let's pick it up with John in Pennsylvania. John, join the conversation.
Yes, good afternoon, Spencer. I was just going to say that I was reading an RT that Israel is planning to go after Lebanon. Supposedly,
yeah.
Hezbollah is giving them a fight.
Yeah.
I don't know where you stand, but I am very, very skeptical of whatever the Houthis and Hezbollah are doing. I'm very, very skeptical because with all that hardware that we have around in the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, I don't see anybody trying to attack anything with all the, you know, in the space of minutes, they could be all wiped out. So I'm very, very, I'm not saying it's a lie. I believe that something's going on with Hamas in trying to repel Israeli aggression. But then again, I'm reminded that Hamas was created and funded by Israel. So how much of this leadership is authentic? How much is just put there for opposition? You know, I'm just very skeptical of that whole situation.
Yeah, of course.
I want to say that, yes?
No, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
And I just want to say with Renee, you know, it's a America is morally bankrupt. They don't know their left hand from their right hand. You know, people don't know what's right. Right is right always. You know, we've been brainwashed that might is right. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. You can't. You know, there's
yeah.
always more. Is this morally wrong? The aggression that Israel is taking against Gaza is immoral.
Yes, 100%. You're absolutely correct. Well, for the U.S. to intervene, you know, would be dramatically escalating the ante. We're giving them support, of course, but not overtly. I mean, this would be a major development. I do believe, and McGregor and Ritter as well, that Hezbollah has a massive, powerful army. They've already defeated Israel. I believe Hezbollah is inevitably drawn into this. I don't see any way Hezbollah can sit back and not enter. And the question is, will Israel nuke Beirut or do some other desperate action which could bring about a massive response from the rest of the world? John, it's a powder keg. Yeah.
That bomb, that missile attack, that explosion that was recorded, you know, everybody saw, that wasn't no whatever they claimed it was. That was a missile strike from Israel. You remember that big explosion that everybody recorded? They were having weddings all around, and all of a sudden this massive explosion took out a port.
I'm trying to recall, John, which incident you have in mind.
I think it was a year or two ago, or this year or last year. Some point something happened at a point. There was a big explosion. They said that they were storing some nitrates or something there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Israel's drone is
to create the illusion of war.
Did you hear that Netanyahu support in Israel is down to 4%? 4%? I mean, that's unbelievable. Scott Ritter was reporting. John, I appreciate all that. Do you have a final thought?
Thank you, and have a good day.
I'm pleased you called. Rick in Arizona, join the conversation, Rick.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer, I got a couple of things quickly here. First of all, the selling liquefied natural gas to Europe is Donald Trump's idea. All you got to do is Google, President Trump wants to sell liquid natural gas to Europe, but Russia is in the way. It's a Wall Street Journal story from 2018.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Zionism in the cause of this mass murder with the Palestinians, that's just the Torah. You know, the Old Testament is 27% mass murder. The Torah says to kill your kill the grandchildren, kill the children, kill the fathers, kill the cattle. That's not Zionism. That's the Torah. And so what we're doing is we have some very clever propaganda operations going out there to separate the Zionists from the Jews. Just go to a, you can't get into a synagogue, but the synagogue has, every synagogue has the Talmud, and every synagogue has the Torah, and that's the way they do business. That is how they operate. So, I mean, to think that, you know, these are, we've got the good Jews over here, and we got the, you know, the Zionist Jews over here, and the Torah Jews over here, it's just the Old Testament. Simple, just read it. 27% is mass murder. And so as far as Trump is now out there using some of this new language that the left is trying to say Trump is now, you know, using Hitler language, Trump is just trying to get the David Duke crowd back, and it's not going to work, okay? Mike Enoch and the NJP and the Duke crowd, we all know he's a fraud, okay? So look, it, when Trump gets into office, he's going to forget everything he told you. Remember. So, hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Fetzer.
Sure, Rick. Thanks for calling in and sharing your views about these things. Paul in Michigan. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, Jimbo. Yesterday, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Yesterday afternoon on Antenna TV, there was a program on Fox Network Channel called The Nest. And on that program, it's hosted by former CBS reporter Bill Curtis. And the name of the program's called Mobster Hits. And the program was an expose that reported that Jimmy Hoffa was the original one that requested that the mob get rid of the Kennedys. And he did it through his New York mob lawyer, who also happened to be the same lawyer for the New Orleans and the Florida mob bosses. And he claims that the Florida mob boss, when he was in prison, he met a prisoner named Hall. And this Mr. Hall contacted Oswald, and Oswald had a relative in the New Orleans mob. And that's how all this went down. There was nothing mentioned about Lyndon Johnson and nothing mentioned about CIA or FBI or anything else. But that's who they claim made the original request to get rid of the Kennedys.
Yeah.
Have you seen that program at all?
No, but it's propaganda. I mean, you know, this is the government trying to shuck responsibility. The Democrats wanting to blame it on the mob. It's a very familiar story, Rick. I appreciate your bringing it up. James Files plays a role in that where he's, you know, supposed to be the second gunman and it's a mob hit with Nicoletti and all this stuff. And I'm just telling you, I don't buy it. I mean, I've done 30 years on this with the best people to ever study the case, and that story will not wash. So I'm glad you're pulling it up there, Rick, to mentioning it's out there, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. They do not want the truth to be understood by the American. That's why when Nigel Turner did The Men Who Killed Kennedy, they banned the last three episodes, 7, 8, and 9, because I and David Mandic and others in my group were in the section, you know, episode 7 about the smoking guns. And then it was Judith and her love affair with Lee was 8. And then number 9 was a guilty man fingering Lyndon, and they shit bricks. They shit bricks. And they led a campaign to ban it. But that's not because it was wrong. It was because it was right. It's just like banning my 6 of my books by Amazon. They're not banned because there's any inadequate scholarship. They're not banned because they wouldn't be popular. They're not banned because they wouldn't make Amazon a fistful of money. They're banned because they expose the government as complicit in deceptions on the American people they don't want the American people to understand. So I'm glad you mentioned it, Rick. Yeah, I take it that was your point too, right? That this was a piece of propaganda.
Right, and they also mentioned, this is Paul, but they also mentioned that the CIA and FBI said there was no conspiracy, and as you and I both know, the mob owned on J. Edgar Hoover, they had compromising pictures of him being a sodomite, and also the CIA had contacted Oswald when he was a sharpshooter with the Marines. So that's why they said there was no conspiracy, but you and I both know there was. And but here's my final thought, and it's not even on this subject. My final thought is, if Hamas and Hezbollah are being funded by Shiite Muslims in Iran, they both need to relocate to Iran to be with their Shiite Muslim people on that issue. So that's all I got to say. But go ahead, say whatever you want.
My opinion in this, the murky situation of politics in the Middle East, Iran are the good guys. They have a history of not launching wars of aggression against any other state. They are a peace-loving people. They haven't launched a war of aggression since 1775, before the Constitution was adopted or George Washington was elected president. In my judgment, Hezbollah and the Hamas are on the right side. And while, Israel originally funded Hamas, it's grown up. It's taken its own identity. They wanted to weaken Yasser Arafat and the Palestinian Liberation Organization by creating Hamas as an alternative, and they eventually killed.
PLO was from Egypt. Yasser Arafat was an Egyptian. He wasn't.
All the Palestinians admired and believed in Yasser. They were loyal to the Yasser, and he was. I think he was quite a capable leader, so they had to get rid of him. But I mean, the fact is, Hamas outgrew its early roots, and even if Israel funded it, and I believe it did in the beginning, it has assumed a life of its own, and it's killing a lot of Israeli soldiers and destroying a lot of their tanks, and I guarantee you the Israelis are not happy about that.
Right, and another thing about Iran, they are not Arabs. They do not speak Arabic. They are Indo-European people, and their language, Iranian, is a summary of languages from both India and Northern and Southern Europe.
That's wonderful, Paul. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you made any number of valuable points here. Yeah. You made your final thought.
I made my final thought. So,
Paul, thank you. Thank you so much.
Balls in your court now. Balls in your court.
Good call. Good call, Paul. Francis in North Carolina, how are you, dear?
I think I'm here for the most part, given all the fiascos going on around me. And good afternoon to you, young man, regardless of what time of day it is. One thing, I have to admit, Renee was on a roll, and she didn't even need butter. I was totally floored. I was like, hey, when you lay it out on the table, what is there to dispute it? Nothing. Unless someone shows me a different action than what is being called out, then you know what? Good luck. I'll have a cocktail just from watching the attempt to try to, prove differently. This satanic emblem or icon or whatever you want to call it is on Iowa State grounds or whatever. I believe they call it the Baphomet or some other whatever you want to call it. It was mentioned earlier.
The devil?
Devil, Satan, Baphomet, whatever you want
to call it. Oh, you're talking about that beheading in the Iowa City display, Yeah.
One thing,
that's all pretty bizarre,
Yes, but the thing is that if they really want to do it any justice, and it's the Jews over in Israel want to establish themselves as the one world place or whatever, then really they should have the Baphomet statuary over there, since they think that it's a deity.
Yes.
But they're actually fooling themselves, because Baphomet, as it's called, is not a god and it's not a deity. It's a statue.
Yes.
It's really a statue that was designed by a French artisan that wanted to illustrate humanity's relation to the world around them, as far as the elements are concerned. And if someone actually researched that, they would discover that. Now, with the goat head part, that comes from the Far East, as far as one of the cultures there is concerned, especially
yes.
like an Indian. That relates to that scenario. So, quite frankly, whenever you have people that are an offshoot of Christianity called Satanism or whatever, they're going to take whatever they want, wherever they want, from however they want, and pervert it for their own pathetic, selfish, narcissistic, yep, you got it, purposes. I love that word, narcissism. It's so countless of people that are in places of authority.
Your final thought for today.
Well, in light of the holidays this December, celebrating the birth of light, a shot of meat, and for the for dear folks in Gaza, the Palestinians, how about blessed spring water?
Nice.
To wash their wounds. To wash their
yes.
wounds. Meanwhile,
yes.
have a great
thank you.
Care.
Thank you, Francis, very much. Dan in Washington. Jan, join the conversation.
Yeah, I caught about Tucker, but real quick with Renee, I do agree that there's tons of traitors out there. All you got to do is look at the U.S. Congress. But, you know, there's tribes that run America, and Jonathan Greenblatt just came out and said he's on Team Jew.
So he's what?
Jonathan Greenblatt, he's on Team Jew.
Isn't he the head of the ADL? I mean,
yeah, he's the head of the ADL, which works.
I mean, of course he's on. Of course he's on Team Jew. He's like one of the leading batters, for crying out loud.
Right. So you know that's the problem with Renee's. People don't talk about Jews because we need to look in the mirror. We talk about Jews because they've captured the U.S. government. And
yes.
organized Jewish groups control the
yes.
media and the money
yes.
system. And these are, you know, the problem is there's no Team White to talk about the Jews. Yes.
I think there's something to that. Yeah, Dan, go ahead.
Well, the last time there's a great debate with William F. Buckley and, I keep forgetting his name. William F. Buckley and the guy that George Wallace. And that was,
yeah.
I agree with what Renee says about the traitors, and I think the conservative movement has always been there from the beginning to destroy the George Wallace kind of populist movement. And that's what I think, if you look at Fox News, you know, first you had Bill O'Reilly, and he ended up getting fired, but Bill O'Reilly started talking about illegal immigration about the time Pat Buchanan was popular. And then Bill O'Reilly kind of self-destructed, and all of his fans just kind of went nowhere. And then you had Glenn Beck about the time Ron Paul, and I remember Glenn Beck wrote a chart of who controls the Federal Reserve, and everyone was thinking, oh, Glenn Beck is hardcore. He's going to tell us who runs the Federal Reserve. And then he got kicked off of Fox, and then he started his own network, and he just totally sells out, and he's... You know, totally.
Dan, I got a couple others. Give me a final thought.
Well, my point is Tucker is kind of there to extinguish the white nationalist movement. People like David Duke. And, I mean, it's great if he kind of represents Team White, but I listen to White Rabbit Radio. I listen to The Right Stuff. I listen to Rents Radio. And Republic Broadcasting, and I don't have time or patience anymore to try to get mainstream people to tell the truth, you know?
Yeah.
They dog whistle, you know?
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Peter in California. Peter, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good call by Dan. There is no Team White. And that's the whole thing about Trump. Trump bent over for the Jews in every way possible, but they didn't like his constituency, Jim. They looked at MAGA as the first political expression of white nationalism. So it was the constituency that bothered them about Trump, because Trump bent over for everything they did. And they were afraid that the constituency would drag Trump away from being manageable by them. But I wanted to comment on Hezbollah. Hezbollah is not configured for offensive warfare. They don't have trucks. They don't have tanks. They don't have mobile fire acquisition. They don't have self-propelled artillery in any, you know, in any large proportion. What they do have is they can hold a position like the Japanese on Iwo Jima, and of course the Israeli soldiers are too soft and too self-obsessed to close with the enemy. They simply won't do it.
But
what they also have is an enormous amount of rocket and missile and stationary artillery, much like the North Koreans, who can make all sorts of casualties in northern Israel. And even down to Tel Aviv, really, with some of the missiles they have. And so they're not in a threat to invade northern Israel per se, but they are a threat to wreak a lot of havoc. And the Israelis, to stop them, would have to go in and take on those Iwo Jima-like Hezbollah fighters, and they don't want to do that either.
Those are very, very nice observations, Peter. I'm very glad you said all that. Give us a little more.
Well, there is no Team White. It's interesting that Palantir, by the way, the company, the technology company, allotted 180. They're going to award affirmative action to Jews,
and not
that they know, they're already owned by them, and they you know, instead of taking up all the quotas that would normally go to whites, the Jews already disproportionately make those up. But they're Jewish when they want to be Jewish and white when they want to be white. And now they want their own defined affirmative action, advantages.
Yes.
And it's ridiculous, you know.
Good stuff, Peter. Got a final thought?
No, that's it. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much. Laura in Michigan, only a minute or so, but squeeze it in. We'll bring you back tomorrow. Laura. Laura.
Duke was a fraud. Okay. If Duke told us about the Jews long ago, and now he's vindicated of what they are. You know, he's spoken all over Syria. In Europe, he's been all over. He's written books. What have you done, Mr. from Arizona? Well, if you're going to talk about somebody and say they're a fraud, give your reasons why. What facts do you have?
Yeah, I also wonder, I mean, even if Trump talked about liquefied, he wouldn't have backed bombing the Nord Stream pipelines. He would be in a very different situation. And if Trump were on their side, go with Trump. He's got all the popular support. That's much simpler. Trying to take him out with all these phony lawsuits tells me how much they fear him. Laura, thanks. Thanks for the call. Call tomorrow. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time as you can with your friend, family, the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Support RBN.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Julie.
Bye-bye.